The book of Job in chapter number 16, and look, if you will, at verse number 19. The Bible says, "Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high." Once again, the text in the last part of verse number 19, or on into verse number 19 a little bit, "My witness is in heaven, and my record is on high." I want to preach for a little while on my heavenly record. In the first few books, verses of Job 16, we have where Job spoke about his friends and spoke to his friends. In fact, he called them miserable comforters. I preached earlier on the subject, "When Friends Fail." I dealt with a few things. First of all, establish, maintain a constant and close friendship with God. No matter about all your other friendships, make sure that you have that close and constant friendship with God. Then secondly, be a friend to ones that you can help. Then number three, keep friends that you can be mutual friends with. And then number four, I think perhaps we fail oftentimes at points one and four. For one thing, I think so often we do not maintain that close friendship with God. And then the fourth point, make friendships of people that can help you. Make friendships of people that are really better than you are. And that is so important for us to have friends that can help us to go higher, to go further, to be better, to be more Christ-like. And so, let us make friends of people that can help us. Now, in the first few verses of this particular chapter, we find that Job did speak to his friends, speaking to them of miserable comforters, and I believe that they were miserable, and they were adding to his misery as well. Job wanted something from his friends. I believe that Job wanted them to strengthen him and to assuage his grief, but they were not giving him those things. Verse number 6, the Bible says, "Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased?" And so I believe from that question we might derive the idea that Job, even though he spoke, he wasn't getting any relief through speaking. And I know that sometimes by speaking, by talking something out, a person may find some relief there. But it seemed as though he wasn't getting any relief from speaking. And then if he forbore, if he did not speak, he was not eased as well. Now in verses 7 through 22, and I know that's quite a section of Scripture, but in verses 7 through 22, Job spoke largely about God and to God. I think that, and you may find that this is a pattern in the book of Job as far as Job was concerned. So often Job was really not spending much time talking to his friends. And I think especially after a little while, Job came to the conclusion, there's no use trying to talk to my friends, and I might as well just go ahead as far as directly trying to oppose particular arguments that they made and so on. I think that sometimes Job just started talking about his situation, talking about God, and talking to God. And so in that last verses 7 through 22, we have Job speaking about God and to God, especially in verse number 8, we have the two witnesses to his weariness and the desolation of his company. The Bible mentions the wrinkles, "And thou hast filled me with wrinkles, which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in me beareth witness to my face." And so, those two witnesses to his weariness and desolation. Desolation, we might think about an emptiness. And as far as his company was concerned, I believe, first of all, Job didn't have a whole lot of company. And the company that he had was really quite empty as far as giving him anything that would be a great help to him. Then in verses 9 and 10, he spoke about the fact that men had attacked him. In verse number 11, he saw that God had turned him over, spoke as though God had turned him over to ungodly, to wicked men. Then verses 12 through 14, he says that he was at ease. And in this particular passage, we might think about some picturesque descriptions of how it went as a result of the attacks upon him, verses 12 through 14, I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me in pieces and set me up for his mark. And even in that verse alone, we might think about, for instance, like a dog taking a rat and shaking it, picking it up and shaking him. We might think about somebody being set up for a mark to shoot at. Verse 13, his archers compassed me about, and so on. Then in verse number 15, the Bible says, at the last of the verse, and defiled my horn in the dust. In that case, we might think about an agile buck or a strong bull being brought down to the ground, perhaps being wounded and brought down, and as a result of that, his horn digging into the ground. And people might have looked at Job just a little while before and thought, this is a mighty man, this is a great man, this is a wise man. And then we might say it's as though this horn was dug into the dirt. Then notice, if you will, verses 16 through 18, 16 and 17 speaks of his condition. And notice verse 17, the Bible says, not for any injustice in mine hands, also my prayer is pure. So here, Job still maintained his innocence. He still spoke his own, even after all of these attacks against him by his friends. He still spoke as though that it was not because he had done wrong that all these things came upon him, and he said that his prayer was pure. Then in verse number 18, he calls for the earth not to cover his blood and his cry to have no place. And so we might think about like a bird that finds no place to light and instead it keeps flying around. When I think about the cry of Job, I think Job wanted his cry to be heard, and he did not want his blood to be covered. Now notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 19. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me. Now think of his friends being right there. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. And even though he was in the presence of friends that he said scorned him, his eyes poured out tears unto God. Verse number 21. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. Now, was Job wanting an advocate? Was Job wanting an intercessor? Well, Jesus Christ is the great advocate. And Jesus Christ is the great intercessor. As far as his friends were concerned, how much good were they going to do pleading? And so, and you might think about being in a situation where God is the one that you need to go to be your mediator, to be your advocate, to be your intercessor. Then in verse number 22, when a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. It's interesting that Job said, when a few years are come. It seems as though that he had some hope that he would live a few years. His life would not come to an immediate end. Perhaps he thought to himself he was just going to suffer and suffer. The suffering was going to drag on for a few years, and then finally he would pass away. Let me go back to my text. Consider my heavenly record. My witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. I think perhaps it was because of this, using this, that Job steeled himself against onslaughts by his friends. I think because of this, Job, at least in part, Job was able to maintain his innocence. Job was able to retain his integrity. And as well, Job was able to contain his tongue somewhat and perhaps not say some things that he would have said because he felt for sure that he had a record on high.